Go ahead, Lisa.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. We are going to hopefully finish off this sealed book today. We've been reading it, and we are in the last three verses, which is Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14, verses 58 through 60. Also, today's date is Sunday, August 21st, 2022. And so thanks for coming. We've just finished the allegory, and then there's a few last words here. And our dear brother Russell put together some of the comments of John P. Pratt, and from the last time we went through this. And so it's about 5 minutes long. I think we'll just start with that and see what he has to say. And then maybe we can comment on that a little bit and then kind of go through these verses. Unless, I don't know, maybe we should read the verses first and then this. Does anyone have an opinion? I haven't listened to it, so I don't know.
Let's read the verses first.
Okay. Jeannie has an opinion. Let's read the verses first. And then we'll go to the comments. So would anyone like to volunteer to read verse 58?
Yeah, I can read it.
All right, Bakia, go ahead.
Oh, Jeannie, do you want to?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Behold, will you reject these words preserved by my own hand for a wise future purpose? Will you reject the words of the prophets and all the words spoken by me, Jesus Christ, in this record? Will you deny the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to thee by the laying on of hands of those who have authority to do so?
Behold, in doing so, you will erase forever the flame of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart. And with this attitude, you will mock the great plan of redemption that has been established for you since the foundation of the world. Know ye not that if you do these things, that the power of redemption and the resurrection, which is in me, Jesus Christ, will bring you with shame and terrible guilt at the judgment seat of God on the last day? Oh, my beloved sons, repent ye, and enter in at the straight gate, and continue in the way which is narrow, until you shall obtain eternal life, until I shall meet you before the pleasing bar of God, which bar striketh the wicked with awful dread and fear. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So I remember reading this the first time and just being like, wow, this is pretty strong. And then, you know, as you go through and you're like, oh, this is almost the same as what's in Jacob, chapter 6. It's the same warning that was given to us in Jacob when right after the allegory was given. So does anyone have any thoughts they want to share right now before we listen to Grandpa Pratt?
Listen to Grandpa.
It'll be nice to hear his voice. This whole thing is wrapping up the book and the allegory, and Jacob is, we've read this in the Book of Mormon, and it's just startling to put the emphasis and the importance of it on. You know, I mean, I used to read scriptures and they didn't mean anything to me. I just read them because I was told to read them, you know, follow the prophet. And then to realize that Jesus sent this to us so many umpteen years ago and knew that we were going to be reading it at this date. It just boggles my mind some days. I just love how strong the plan of salvation, the plan that God had from the very beginning for us. So that's it.
Awesome. There's one part that's different. It's the last sentence of 58. Will you deny the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to thee by the laying out of hands of those who have authority to do so? So that's a little different than Jacob 6. Okay, well, let's listen to Grandpa Pratt and then we'll talk a little bit more. All right, hopefully we turn this up. And if you have a problem hearing, let me know. And there's going to be a little bit of Steve and, you know, a few other voices too.
Verse 49. This has opened up a little bit of a different parallel of understanding. As I look at branches, fruit, roots, and we're talking about him and what he's doing, and here we are again. And he talks about, if we do this last time, that they may grow and remain united in me. And it just occurred to me that we were talking about the things that we're working on, our murmurings and these things. Are we not both branches and the fruit and the root? I mean, in some ways, is that not?
Yeah. In a way, if we're ancestors, we're roots. If we're living, we're branches.
Right.
And here he's really consistent with the fruit is the feelings. He talks about work. He's very consistent.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's the feelings.
Yeah.
I had an Remember when he talked about getting rid of the murmurings? He said, focus on one at a time. He listed about eight
things to
get rid of. And he said, get rid of one and don't try to do them all at once. Get rid of one and then move on to the next and then on to the next.
Yeah.
That is getting rid of the evil fruit one at a time within one
person. Yes.
But he does, then he goes on to say, he says, the good feelings overpower the bad.
Right.
And what the Lord is going to come back to. He has to have a certain amount of strength in his vineyard.
They've got to be living the celestial law. Or he won't come. Zion has to be founded on the celestial law, including the all things in common.
You have to look at
one heart, one mind.
Verse 54.
Okay, in the beginning of the fullness of time is Joseph Smith's time. We're at the end of the fullness.
Verse 56.
Okay, so that sounds like when he says the time cometh when bad fruit will appear again, that sounds like end of the millennium. What we've been talking about is people are going to be successful with the good fruit. And he doesn't say 1,000 years pass away here, but that's when the bad fruit again appears at the end of the millennium. And that's when he burns the whole earth. I mean, there's a burning of there's two burnings. There's a burning of the wicked before the second coming. But at the very end, the whole earth is really burned again in celestial lights. And anyway, so that's, I think now we're talking at the very end of the earth.
Verse
57. Hey, I've got a comment I've never noticed on this verse before. And that is, if you read carefully, when Jacob starts, the first couple of verses in Jacob chapter 5, where he's going to go into the parable of the allegory of the ology. Maybe it's the end of the chapter before. He said, I, Jacob, will now give you my personal prophecy. And you read that and say, wow, we're going to get a prophecy from Jacob. And then he said, here's my prophecy. My prophecy is that the prophecy and the allegory of Zenus is true, and it will happen. That's my prophecy. Now let's look at that. The Savior quotes Jacob here, and he says, now making use of some of the words of Jacob, I say unto you, that's Jesus,
yeah.
I say unto you, the things that the prophets said concerning the house of Israel shall come to pass. That's the Lord's prophecy,
yeah.
Quoting Jacob's prophecy, quoting
Zenith.
That's a, isn't that a subtle detail? But anyway, yeah. Right there. That's awesome. See, the Lord's quoting Jacob. That's so fun.
Verse 59.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He is telling you exactly how it is.
That spells it out pretty clearly. I don't think that leaves room for denial or interpretation or misunderstanding.
That's Savior, that's not, you can't say, oh, well, this guy is a fanatic or going. That's the Savior saying, if you reject my words, he says, my sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's read the last
reject.
One.
Verse 60. I've read several times, and I've never, there was some of this today that was pure revelation. I mean, I understood it. I've read it before.
That's powerful. Wow. I've heard that before too, but it's more powerful today. All of it's more powerful today than it has been before. So I think it's very good to be studying together. And each person taking a turn being, having the Spirit reveal something to them.
Hold on. Sorry about that. All of a sudden my throat was all dry. So, yeah, powerful stuff here. And we just finished. And final comments, you know, what is anything from what Grandpa said touch you, or any of the other comments made by Steve or anything?
Well, actually, the whole thing, he quotes Jacob. Jesus quotes Jacob, the last verses, except for the part that you said, Lisa, will you deny the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to thee by the laying on of hands of those who have authority to do so? So, yeah, for the rest is almost directly from Jacob. That's what I find interesting.
I think it's interesting. It ends with repent. You know, it's always the same message. He's always plain, and that there will be a moment of judgment, which is so beautiful in his its simplicity in a way. I love that. That she's the same yesterday, tomorrow, and today especially. And three times, will you reject? Will you reject? Will you deny? It reminds me also of what Jesus says before. Remember the precedents among you that we cannot go without scriptures, you know, so we have to be familiar and know and love these scriptures to be able to compare them, you know. So he won't tell us stuff, and that I never realized before when I heard now Grandpa Brett say Jesus is not going to use words which are already in our possession. So it's also a call from, do you remember how much I have given you with all the scriptures? And I love that about the plainness, the beauty of the plainness of the whole plan. So that's my comment.
Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome.
Sister Lisa.
Yeah.
Yes, just one thing that stands out as well to me is we're reading in verse 59, you'll notice that where it says, in the first little bit, it says, behold, in doing so, you will erase forever the flame of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart. And with this attitude, you will mock the grand plan of redemption that has been established for you since the foundation of the world. And just after that, there's a dash. Now, as we know, that dash means that some of the words were withheld and not brought forward for we weren't ready for them. And that space between that, know ye not that if ye do, will do these things and so on. There was something in there that we weren't ready for.
Something additional.
Yeah, something additional. But it's just interesting. The whole three verses are just trying to make it so plain to us that if we follow what he's saying, he'll greet us at the last day. As long as we follow the commandments, do all those things that he's asked us to do.
We're continually reminded that way too. If you know, he makes a statement and then backs it up with, if you don't, there is a result that you might not be happy with. Yeah, and it's sort of a warning as well as a promise. It's both. Yep.
Thank you. You know, and it all boils down to that repentance. That's what's kind of sticking out to me is that that's how we're going to make it back is by repenting. You know, just we're full of the natural man. We make so many mistakes. And if we can just keep repenting and keep returning to our Savior, that's what's going to help us get back to that pleasing bar of judge. The judgment in a good place.
Lisa?
Jeannie, go ahead.
I think that the last three, but also, you know, 57, the last four, 57 is telling us that this is the last time that the Lord is going to till his or take care of his vineyard in the manner that he has been, to prune it and dig it and perfect it. And then he says the end will soon to come. And then the next three verses are like, this is what's going to happen. It's like a warning, terrible warning, but is full of hope also as to the fact that we will make it through. In verse 59, where it says, you will, if you don't follow the Lord, you will erase forever the flame of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in your heart. We came to this earth with the power and knowledge given to us, and then we had the veil put on us. And that is coming forward in those who are accepting him and following the straight path. Erase is a strong word. That means it's gone. It's not partially gone. It's just gone. I don't ever want to be in that position. And it's almost like you can see that today in some of the people. And this is why the Lord is calling us to kind of like wake us up and say, You're important to me. I don't want this to happen to you. And it will happen if you don't listen. Thank you.
And I'll just comment just on the end of that, Sister Jeannie, that it's like when you're on a computer and you hit the delete button and it comes up with one last saying, are you sure you want to delete this? And that's what the message is in here, that he's saying, are you sure you want to do this? If you don't follow, this is the result. Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Brother Bob.
Yes, when I read these verses, it's sort of a mixed emotion. If somebody new reads the sealed book and gets this far and hasn't believed it by now, I'm not sure what these verses, if these verses would change their mind. But to me, what the purpose of this is that it reminds us not to be so inward focused with this information that we have. It's heartbreaking in a way when we read these voices, because we can imagine ourselves standing before the pleasing bar of God, and hopefully he's pleased with what he sees, but we can feel just how close we were to being the other side. What's that play back years ago written about the woman in the streets that two men came along and saw, and they transformed this woman into a beautiful princess, kind of, a magnificent lady, and they said, but for the grace of God there goes I, something like that. Do you remember the play? I can't think of what it is, but it's a great story. That
sounds a little bit like My Fair Lady.
I think so, maybe. Yeah. We could be in the gutter in the street, except for the grace of God. It's so easily. Just think about your lives. If Melvin and I hadn't moved to Blue Springs, Missouri, when we did, we would have never been involved with this whole story. And you think about the events in your life and how God moved the pieces and brought it all together. And so when we come this far and we just marvel at what we've got in our hands, and we read these verses, we think about our family, we think about our friends, and we even, like I'm trying to say, we even put ourselves in here. This could be us. It could have been, but for the grace of God. And I think it teaches us a lot about grace. And, I just feel that we should never forget just how close we were, perhaps, to missing out on the message and being a part of this story. I've got a couple other comments, but I'll wait for a while.
Okay. Well, welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Brother.
Steve.
Glad to be here.
We're just wrapping up the last three verses. We heard a little bit of your voice along with John Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
So, any other thoughts?
Yeah, maybe one thought of the last part of 58. So you have three questions. Will you reject two times? And then the third, will you deny? And then it's the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to thee by the laying on of hands of those who have authority to do so. So I was thinking about this, that our first responsibility is to go to the people who already have the Book of Mormon, who are familiar with prophets and seers and revelators. So, and will you deny the power? And this is the assurance we had as members of the gift of the Holy Spirit by those who have the authority to do so. Very important that you have the authority. So, will you deny because we have the assurance through that promise, yeah, by obeying the commandments and making it important enough that somebody should have authority to give the Holy Ghost? So then you have the assurance, you know, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing the commandments. And then I have the assurance of the Holy Ghost with me at all times. Then you should learn to listen to that Holy Ghost. So, and here it says, and if you are open to that power of God and combination of power and gift of Holy Ghost Spirit, This is why we have to really realize, and the next thing is, in doing so, the flame of the Holy Spirit. So this is the whole thing. Why are we members of this church? Because we have the promise of the priesthood, and through that, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. So, and then it goes with attitude. You know, this is so great stuff, attitude, because if you mock, if you deny that Holy Spirit, period, which is the only certainty we have, you will mock the whole plan, because it would be an unfair God, and he would be a respecter of persons. So it's amazing, and yeah. And it's just also the whole warning thing, like a child. It's a redemption resurrection, which in me, it's me. I'm speaking, Jesus Christ. And then I cannot do different than being shame and terrible. So he's really, it feels like he's shaking us, you know, like a, come on, get with the program, guys. So, and it's beautiful. How it build up with the questions, you know, because the authority, this is the only thing we have, this is the Holy Spirit, who will testify of truth, Jesus and the Father at all times. So if you want that flame in your side of you, and isn't that beautiful that it says the flame of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart? So it says, it doesn't say you can feel the Holy Spirit. No, he says it's there. It's there. Only the attitude and the feelings may want you to step back a little bit. So that's something I really felt important, you know, the second question, to deny the power and the gift. Thank you.
Thank you. I love it. I do sometimes feel like I'm being shaken when I read those words. Yep. Okay, Brother Cackler, go ahead.
Okay, next comment, following Brother Harm, I learned about the flame of the Holy Spirit, what the Lord shared with me is I was walking to church one day, and when I did so, I'd pray. It was my time with the Lord, go into the church Sunday morning. It was, I didn't do it that many times, but it was, I really appreciated the times I was able to do it. And one time I turned down a street and I was just asking the Lord to understand what is, teach me about the Holy Spirit and about the, what we refer to as the Holy Ghost. And the Lord put in my mind the vision of a candle, which representing the Holy Spirit. And I had the understanding that the flame part of the candle is what we refer to is what causes the baptism of fire. Jesus says, you know, the priesthood will baptize you with water, but I will baptize you with fire. And that's how he does it, is that flame of the Holy Spirit. It's that cleansing part. It's like you put your finger, you know, the closer you get to the candle, it's that flame part of the light that causes the light, which cleanses us. And I'm thinking that that's part of what this verse is saying, is that I think the Holy Spirit would still be there, still be with people until you totally rejected the Lord. But the flame, the cleansing, the purification, the sanctification, you'd know that you would forego. It's like giving up your inheritance. And so anyway, I guess that's my comment, is that in my mind, when I think of the Holy Ghost, as the Book of Mormon talks about, is that that's what it's talking about, is the cleansing part of the Spirit, the power to transform our lives into those vessels that Jesus can use in his kingdom. Yeah, thank you.
What a wonderful analogy, you know, or an insight you've got. That's wonderful. That'll bless all of us to hear that. Thank you.
If I might just comment just a little more.
Please.
If you look at the different versions of the Bible now, there's so many translations, and most of them have stopped using the term Holy Ghost. They think it's old-fashioned. They use just Holy Spirit. And even the Portuguese language does the same thing. They don't have a word for ghost. They think a ghost is like, you know, something like something else. But it's the Book of Mormon. I think that's why the Book of Mormon was originally translated into English, or given in English, is that it distinguishes between spirit and ghost. And the Inspired Version continued that too. The King James Version uses it. The Inspired Version uses it. The New King James Version dropped the term. The NIV Bible, all these new translations just use Holy Spirit. And I think they're missing out. Even though we don't really say there's two spirits, it functions in so many different ways. And if you talk to Mauricio, you soon get the understanding is that there's much more about the spirit world than what we're allowed to understand at the moment. And there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And Mauricio will probably explain that to the church one day when we're ready. And so the Book of Mormon has turned out to be, and the Inspired Version of the Bible have turned out to be the way the Lord's preserving this concept of the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. And even if you study it in the Book of Mormon, you'll find verses in the same verse, it uses both terms. It'll talk about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And the casual commenter would say, oh, well, that's just like using it. They don't want to repeat the same word, you know, like we do when we write. You come up with a different word that means the same thing so people don't get bored or something. But if you, there's several verses that talk about the both of them. And I just think we need to keep our minds open to learning more about the Spirit. We're just barely understanding, I think. We're being blessed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, but there's so much more to learn. And anyway, the part of this, when I was trying to understand what's the difference between the Spirit, the Lord showed me that vision of the candle. And he said, when you understand that the flame, what the purpose of the flame is, you're beginning to understand how the Holy Ghost is different from the Holy Spirit. Even in our sacramental prayers, I think, Lisa, Kelvin sent you an explanation of that. The Lord is saying that in the prayer of blessing on the wine and the bread, I have to read it again, but references are made to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost in the use of the words it's in Portuguese this time. But anyway, I just wanted to say that don't go along with what the mainstream Christianity is doing and lumping it all together. Appreciate your Book of Mormon. Be thankful that it uses these terms and it's still that way. And thank you.
Awesome. I've never noticed that before. I mean, I just thought they were the same. So I'm glad you brought that up. We'll have to be more, at least I'll have to be more diligent in seeing the difference between them. Thank you so much.
Well, I have to maybe study it out one day, but there's one really interesting verse. It talks about the judgment. And this verse almost implies that at the judgment, the Holy Spirit will be there, but the Holy Ghost will not. And I don't want to put thoughts in your mind that's implying they're two different things. But in a way, to me, when I'm reading that verse, it implies that the time for sanctification is past. When you get to this pleasing bar, repentance will have no effect. I think that's when we feel shame. I don't think we can stand before God at this point and says, "Oh, well, now that I know you're real, you know, I'm sorry." I don't think that's going to make it. And that's why we feel this shame and this terrible guilt, because we missed our chance. And so there's nothing pleasing about the pleasing bar in the context of these verses. It only reminds us that our lives must please the Lord, or we will suffer the fruits of our work. Now, thank you.
Bakia.
I think it can be a pleasing bar, because it will strike the wicked. So we have to do anything in our power to not be wicked. So and then it will probably become a pleasing bar. When he says, "You did a good job. I love you."
Thank you.
I think in that point, your time of standing before the pleasing bar probably be cut short. You'd probably be just ushered on into the next room. But maybe like security, you know, like you don't have to have a pat down. You just, okay, just come on.
Yes.
Walk through. You go on ahead.
That's what we're aiming for.
That's right. Well, any other final thoughts before we close for today? Brother Cackler, go ahead.
Okay, one more. We read 183 pages. What we read on the sealed book represents 19 of the plates that were unsealed in the presence of the 8 witnesses and Mauricio and the 11 witnesses. So the 19 plates that he translated became the sealed book. That was 183 pages in the book that we have. There's 23 more plates that Mauricio is either translating or will translate. And if it's the same number of words per character like he has in the past, there'll be another 222 pages. And so altogether, the 42 plates that were unsealed in 2018, was it? That would make a total of 405 pages that this part of the Book of Mormon would be 405 pages. And so it'll be a significant amount added to the Book of Mormon. Make the Book of Mormon, you know, maybe close to 1,000 pages. And so it's growing. And then that, remember the next part is the prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite, and a third of the revelation of John. And so then what's remaining for Jesus to open is the two-thirds of the revelation of John and the vision of the brother of Jared. So amazing things to come. Stay tuned.
That's exciting. Wow. Well, thank you for everyone's comments on these last few verses, and I just appreciate and have grown so much over the last year plus as we've studied from the sealed book. And we'll go ahead and stop for now. And thanks for joining us.